right, fantastic. We got a Bible. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. And that's kind of where we're going to be today. I think you're really going to enjoy today. Today's going to be really practical. Of course, this whole series is from practical. And we were putting this series together when I was with the team, and we were thinking on and scheming several months ago about this work series. The desire was to share something from the Scriptures. This is an interesting thought here. Think about this. To share something from the Scriptures about an area of our life that we spend so much time doing. It just makes sense. Therefore, what does the Scripture say about work? Because for so many of you, you're going to spend the greater majority of your time working. And therefore, if we're going to be believers, we're going to be followers of Christ, we want Him to be in every part of who we are. Therefore, this part, since it is such a big piece of the pie, we want to make sure that He is Lord of our life in work. And so, I don't know, that just, to me, that's where this series came from. That's where this thought, all these thoughts started. And so our key verse every week was found in Colossians 3. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord and not for men. But remember that thought, whatever you do, that becomes this great driving force behind, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how menial or how important you make or others may think it is. It doesn't matter if it's volunteer work. It doesn't matter. When you think about work, I want you to understand, it's not just occupation. If you're a student here today, this was the same concept. If you're a stay-at-home parent, if you are some volunteer work, therefore it's whatever you do. That's what makes that verse so good. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men. In other words, your motivation for doing what you're doing is because of Him. And if you're a believer here today, this makes a big difference. This is a big thought in your brain as far as looking at what you do. Because you're going to be doing a long time. You're going to have a hard time staying motivated and focused unless you understand that what you're doing is for Him. So anyway, that's what we've been talking about. And through the weeks, we talked about who you work for. And that's what we shared. That was the first week. And then we talked about ethics. Not only who you work for, but why and what you do and why you do it the way you do it. And doing things right in a culture to where things, you live in this culture. It's doing something right is not necessarily always, as long as you do it to where it's successful, it doesn't matter if really it's right or there's different errors. So we talked about ethics. We don't have time to go into it. And then we 2 weeks we did a word to the boss, a word to the employee, and talked about authority and doing those things and working hard. That's a key element. Working hard. As a believer, I believe believers ought to be, they ought to be the best workers there are, because the motivation to do what you do is it goes to Him. So again, those are things. And then last week we talked about rest. And it was a good week to talk about rest. What does it mean to rest? What does it mean, these things? So this has been this series. Today we're going to end it up with a light thought. In quotes, thought. All right? It's this picture of being a light at the workplace. Being a light at the workplace. And then we'll finish this series today. The next week, I'll start Daniel. I cannot tell you. I had a desire to do this. We start this series next week. This message on Daniel, the life of Daniel, but also, really, it's going to be an end times focus, no doubt, because so much of Daniel. And I wanted to do a little bit more of that because it was so well received in the winter, starting in January. And I was seeing that Daniel, we were referring a lot to it, so I thought, well, let's just go back and take a look at it. And it truly is remarkable. So we'll start that next week. But today, when you think about what it means to be a light, when you think about all of these different things of making a difference at work. All right, whatever that may be, it looks different for everybody because sometimes people, this is interesting, sometimes people, the world around you, okay, the world around you is going to tell you that you shouldn't do that, okay? The world around you is going to tell you to hide who you are as a believer at the workplace. The world's is gonna threaten you with not being successful or not being able to move up if you are who you are. Now, this is really, really important. Therefore, are we going to hide who we are? If you're a believer here today, literally, that's who I'm talking to. If you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer or it's not important to you or whatever, then really this doesn't matter to you anyway. But if you are a believer here today and it is important to you, this message last night really touched a nerve among the folks, not in a bad way, but in a very good way. And boy, I had a lion sharing with me stories last night of God using people in different situations in ways they never dreamed possible. So I want you to see this, but if you're a believer here today, that's the main concept. Here's the thought. The question is, should I be a light at work? All right, listen to me. I'm going to say this 3 or 4 times in 3 or 4 different ways. All right, here we go. Listen to this. If you're a believer, you're already a light. Okay? You have no choice if you're going to be a light or not. Why? Because His light lives in you. We'll take a look at that in a minute. But remember this, if you are a believer, you're already a light. The question is not if you're a light or not. The question is, are you going to hide it? That's the question you'll have to answer yourself today. You have to, if you truly are a believer, you will have to actively hide the fact for people not to see it. Think about the metaphor. We'll get to it in just a minute, I promise. But think about the metaphor. Right? If it's dark in a big room like this, and I have a flashlight, everybody in the room is going to look and say, oh, that guy, who's that guy? Why? Because if you're a light, you're going to stick out in the darkness. It's just going to happen. So the only way is to conceal it. Right? To put a bucket over it. Well, in fact, that's even used in the Bible. We'll share with you a little bit about this morning. To hide it. So the question is not whether you're a light or not. The question is, are you going to hide it? Are you going to hide it or not? Are you going to be ashamed of it or not? Wow. So as today, again, this will be thought-provoking, but it'll also be, I think, liberating in this thing as believers of what it means to be a light. And that's again, as I was putting this together, the older I get, the more I'm like, stop being clever with these outlines and just put down what it really says. And here's number one. You ready for number one? All right. So what does that mean? All right. All right, that's number one. So what does it mean to be a light? I came up with that myself. All right, I just want y'all to see that. All right. What does it mean? We just talked about it a little bit. Now I got excited and already jumped into it a little bit. But take a look at 1 John 1, verse 5. I love 1 John. We're doing that on Wednesday nights now, just verse by verse. We're just talking and walking through 1 John. 1 John is one of, in fact, in the discipleship material that I do, it's kind of the key foundation of do a verse by verse look through 1 John. There's a lot in there about who God's called us to be as far as fellowship with Him and other things. But take a look at verse 5 now. And here's the picture. This is the message, okay, which we have heard from Him and that we're proclaiming to you. John just making it clear here in the very first part of this little letter. He says, listen, this is the message. This is the message we've heard. We didn't make this up. This is the message we've heard from Him, that is Christ, and this is the one we're going to tell you. And here it is, that God's light. That God's light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, be careful when you look at that verse, because this is a comparison. This is a metaphor. It says that God is light. Well, we all know that God created light, right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. But there's something about in His first creation, there's so much of a picture of Himself, of who God is, in this concept of light. And there's a lot can be said about it, and we don't have time to share with it, because I want you to see some of the complicated part. Let's just look at right on the surface, what's He trying to tell us here? What he's trying to tell us here is that God is light. What are the properties of light? Properties of light are, you can't really define it because it's hard to define, but you can tell a whole lot about what light does. There's a huge difference between being in a dark room and a light room. And the brighter the light, the greater it is for you to see. Light also reveals. I mean, you can change light to make colors appear different, you know, in different ways. It's amazing. Light, when you really look at it, it's very simple to understand, but it also can be very complicated to grasp. It's an amazing thing, and again, we could get real deep and have a whole lot of fun with that, but that's not the purpose this morning. The purpose this morning is that in this particular comparison, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so the reason for saying that is found in verse 6 and 7. He starts off with this thought that God is light. Now stay with me here, because when you're going to be a light, you got to find out first that He is the light. Now look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. So here's the picture. If we say, I know who God is. If I say I have a relationship with God. If I say I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I know God. Whatever it is you say. If you say you say that, here we go. And you walk in darkness, you're just a liar. I didn't say it. John said it. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Right? There's none of this, well, you know, I became a Christian when I was young, and, you know, and I may not be walking with Him now, but I know I did that back. You know, I have my doubts about you. I can't judge you, but I have my doubts. Why? Because of this verse. Scripture is very clear. Okay? There's no such thing as fire insurance. People teach that, but there's no such thing. According to this verse, it says here, if you say that you know Him, if you say that you have a relationship with Him, and you are walking in darkness, you're a liar. Just think about it a second. I mean, you take a look at ourselves. Therefore, the question is, that's why I was saying earlier, the question is not whether if you are a light or not. If you're His, you are a light. The question is now, are you going to hide it, or you're not going to hide it? So again, that's just a picture. We're lying. We don't practice the truth. All right, now, take a look at the verse 7, I believe it is. Yes. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, if we have a relationship, since He is light, all right, since He is light, if we are walking, what does the word walk mean? The word walk means to live your life. Therefore, if we live in such a way as someone who is in the light, well, then that means we have to be His, because He's light. The light is not generated from us. The light comes from Him. Therefore, if I have a relationship with Him and I'm following Him, I'm walking in the light. So therefore, if God is light and I've got a relationship with Him and I'm walking in darkness, how can I say that I have a relationship with God since He's light but I'm walking in darkness? It doesn't work. Now you see the whole concept of what he's talking about is pretty easy when it comes down to it. But I have to establish this fact of God is light and this whole metaphor of what he talks about with light and what it means. In 1 John, but in John, just look at the screens here. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, we pulled this out, this whole light concept, quite a bit at Christmas time. Jesus is the light of the world, you know, a light to enlighten the Gentiles. The star in the darkness, you know, the guy, the wise man. You have this concept of light, especially at the Christmas time. In fact, we use this, it's really an amazing concept. We use this at Christmas Eve services, all right? Anybody in the room, have you been to one of our Christmas Eve services? Let me know. Just see. Okay, a little over half of you. Well, we do a Christmas Eve service where basically we shut the whole room down, all the lights, everything, and it's just dark except for a few of the little runners along the the aisles. And then we have this thought I stand up here with just one candle and then take a look at the difference in the room. When you begin to pass the light out and it goes across, it's a pretty cool concept. And then you begin to understand it's just a visual picture of this whole metaphor of light. OK, Okay, this whole metaphor of light. But number one then, what does it mean to be light? That's what it means. Why? Because God is light in that picture. Okay, number two. Okay, Jeff, again, I came up with this myself. So how does this fit into my job? All right, if we're going to talk about this, let's just say what it is. Right? Number one was what does it mean to be a light? What it means to be a light is a reflection of the one that you're following. If you say you are a believer, then you are walking in the light. And if you are walking in the light, then that light is shining off of your life. And if you look at me and say, Jeff, you don't realize how terrible it is at my workplace to try to be a believer. I have found, if you ask yourself this question, I ask you this question. Where is it most important to shine? Where is light the most important? Dark places. So if you work at a dark place, I'm here to tell you, it's probably because God has you there on purpose, even though you might not like it. Now, He hasn't called you to make a difference at your workplace. You can't do that. But He has called you to shine. Just be who you are in Christ. He hasn't called you, right? Stand up at lunchtime with a Bible and preach to everybody. He hasn't called you to do that. Well, maybe a couple of you, but you have to have a unique personality for God to call you to do that, all right? But I want you to understand, He hasn't called you, all He's called you to do is to shine who you are. Not hide it. That's all He's called you to do. No guilt trip today. Other than, are you hiding it? Are you hiding it? That's the key. Because I'm here to tell you, light has amazing impact on people. Some positive. But believe it or not, lots of people now, especially in our culture, the politically correct culture, they like the darkness. And when you turn the light on, it really bothers them. Like they'll get angry, upset with you. But I've learned that that doesn't matter when it comes down to who you are in Him. So let's go back to, let me share with you a couple of verses here. In Luke chapter 11, verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. This is Jesus talking. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus makes this statement. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So in this particular thought, He's comparing Himself to light. We've talked about this is several comparisons, but this is why we use this at Christmas time. Here's this picture when Jesus is telling everybody, I'm the light of the world. And basically, anybody who comes after me is not going to walk in darkness. So I am the light of the world. Those who are my followers will walk in light. We've already established that concept. Now here's the next part. And again, I don't want you to miss what he's trying to say to you here. But take a look now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Okay, well, Jesus, make up your mind. Right? Who's the light of the world? All right? Who's the light of the world? Well, we all know that God is light. We all know that who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Therefore, Jesus is God. Therefore, He is the light. He is the light sent into the world, into a world of darkness. But now, since you've become a believer, there's this picture that you are the light of the world because it's not your light, but it's your light. It's His light that's reflecting in you because you're His. Therefore, the light's going to shine through you, almost like a conduit. Brings electricity or water or whatever you want to call it, but it's something that takes one thing from one place to another. And so there's this picture of who you are and how this works. You are the light of the world. A city that's on a hill, you can't hide it. No matter how hard you try, you can't hide a city that's up here where everyone can see it. Nor do people light a lamp. And here's the picture. Don't want you to miss the teaching here. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That's the whole concept we used earlier, right? How do you hide light? You have to put something over it. You have to lower it. You have to put it down low, because when you put it up high, it spreads. It's incredible how it works. So this is the whole concept of this illustration in this passage. But what, they don't put it under a basket. What do? They put it on a stand. Okay? They put it on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Now, look at this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify God who's in heaven. Therefore, you become a reflection of what God can do in someone's life. That does not mean you're perfect, but it does mean I'm not going to hide who I am. That's why we do it here on Christmas Eve. I don't know if you've ever been a part of one, but I've already asked you both, so over half of you. But the rest of you that haven't, let me tell you what we do. We're in this dark room in here on Christmas Eve. Y'all to come one time. I will do it every. I'm going to do that every time because it's a concept I want to keep in our brains. It's a great time to do it at Christmas Eve. And I know a lot of people come. Oh, that's such a cool thing. They don't know why we do it. I explain it, but they still don't know why. They just think it's cool. All right, but here's the thought. Here's what Jesus means. Put it on a stand, a city on a hill. Elevate it. Don't miss this. Elevate it. When you've got light, elevate it. Don't hide it. Don't put it down. And I do this on Christmas Eve. This room is packed with people. And we all have candles. It makes me nervous every year. All right? I've only had it happen one time, not here, in another place, where we were crammed in this little room, about a tenth the size of this one, and we had these candles. I was doing all this, bless her heart, this lady who's a hairdresser in our church, and she had a child that was, I don't know, 11, and of course she had her hair. She had her hair sprayed down, and I was sitting on Christmas Eve explaining this great story, which I'm about to share with you now. And I look over, and I guess somebody got too close to that hair. And all I saw was this. And then the mother with the bulletin beating out the flames on her hair. All right. Anyway, sorry. But that's the only time it's ever happened, so we're going to keep doing it. And she didn't sue us or anything. But I want you to... That's the ADD in me. I'm sorry, guys. But So then why do we do what we do? Here's what we do. We have the light, and the room's dark, and I'm up here by myself, and I've got one candle. And you can see me just barely from where you sit because I have the candle right here. But then when we hand all the light out, when we start passing it around and it goes from person to person to person to person and it goes throughout the room, it's pretty neat to watch the room go from darkness to light. And you begin to understand, believe it or not, if you get the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you begin to understand a little bit why he uses this metaphor of light. And then I have everybody do something. I have everybody take the candle and lower it down, and then to watch the room as they take it and lower it down as low as they can without burning the person around them, right? And it goes real dim. Still see a little bit, but it goes real dim. But then I have everybody hold it up above their head. Why? Because the concept of the city on the hill, the concept of putting the lamp on the stand, put it up! Put it up! Get it high or don't hide it. All right? This is who I am. Let it shine. Therefore, you don't have to do anything other than not conceal it. It's not your responsibility to make a difference in someone else's life. Why? Because you can't do it. You're just a reflector. But you can't tell them who can change their life. You can't let it be seen. I have heard people down through the ages, and I'm down through the ages of my life. And those that are the greatest light are just the ones. And I shared this a few weeks ago about my son at college when we were talking about this. I told him when he went, don't try to be a light. Just be one. Because when you try to do it, you just get obnoxious. Just be who Christ is. That's all you have to do. And I'm here to tell you, this world's dark enough where they're going to notice. And you'll either irritate them, or they'll be drawn to it. But either way, that's who He's called you to be. I don't know, the concept's incredible to me. So simple. Everybody in the room can understand it, but it's powerful when you begin to think about it. And it's also very convicting to think about and consider and ponder the question, could I be hiding it? Could I be hiding who I am so that I don't have to endure persecution or I don't have to endure something else? Yeah. But again, that's not me. That's for you to consider. But guys, I do tell you this. When you think about living sent, we have a concept around here we've shared with you a couple years ago, and we try to keep this concept of living sent. It's out in the lobby. You see the poster where, if you're a member of our church, we have your house with a little dot on. We have a picture of the county. But I tell you what, you want to know where the real mission field is. It's the workplace. Why? Because your neighbors, think about it. If you're a good neighbor, you spend about an hour a week with your neighbor. Most of the time, it's a lot less than that. And that's only if you run into them going out to get the paper. Right? Because if you see them any other time, they're out working in the yard, and you say, hey, how are you? And they're fine, and they say, don't talk to me, I'm working, right? Or they're either out exercising in the neighborhood. People just don't go out to talk. So anyway, the people you have relationships with, the people you have the opportunity to be a light to, are the ones at work. Why? Because you're with them a whole lot. A lot of time spent. I'm here to tell you, we can't do it. There's no way to do it. But I'd love to put the number of dots of where you work. There's a group of you here that are here. I mean, you work overseas. You go back and forth. You work all over the country. Think about just in this room where everybody is. It's staggering. It's much different than just a county. Where we live, it has to do with this. So I don't know. To me, it's an amazing concept. But this struck a nerve last night. I couldn't believe the number of responses that I got from people who caught this concept. And that's who they're known for. Now, again, it may be a while, but you never know how God's going to use you. But all you can be is a light. If you don't know my story, I share this with the dinner with the pastor folks, just pieces of it. But we have a dinner with the pastor this coming Tuesday. If you're a guest with us, and I just do the dinner just to meet new people and not share with you a little bit about myself. And so if you'd like to be, there's one that's coming Tuesday. And you can just check with one of our welcome centers. And I'd love to have you this Tuesday. But it's kind of my story. See, I didn't become a believer until I was 21. Okay, guys, look at me. Hear my heart here. I didn't become a believer until I was 21. I was in church. But you do know that you can be in church and not have a clue what the light is. Oh, yeah, you can sit in church all your life. That doesn't make you a believer. Question, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you attended church faithfully. That makes you a believer. It doesn't. But I had a girl in high school that was a believer. And she just shined. And she just, that's just who she was in our high school. One of the only really true believers that I remember in high school, especially my senior class. There may have been more. But they didn't really stick out. But she just stuck out. And so we walked together. And she used to share with me, not trying to. I think it was just because of who she was. It just overflowed who she was. Yeah. She says, you know, and she would share about God as if she knew him. It was crazy. I have to admit, I thought she was a little strange at first. But she used to talk. And she had me 5 minutes a day. We went from one class to another. We didn't spend any other time with each other. But I got graduated high school, and went on to college. And after a series of events, life went really bad for me. Lots of bad choices, lots of stupid things going on in my life. And so at a huge time of need, I just happened to go back into town and bump into her at a Christmas program that I got drugged to, and so good to see her. And in a real time of need, she looked back at me and said, "Hey, would you like to go to church with me Sunday?" And I'm here to tell you, if she hadn't been who she was, I'd have said no. But I actually said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And so I show up with her, and you know, and three or four months later, I'm putting my faith and trust in Christ. And I look back on that time, and I thank God for a high school girl. You know, if you've ever been where I've been, I thank God for a high school girl. By the way, it's not Martha. It'd be a cool story if it was Martha. But I thank God for a high school girl. She wasn't trying. I mean, I'm pretty big, if you haven't noticed. And she was just a little girl. She wasn't trying. It was just who she was. Thank God. Thank God, personally, for somebody that just lived who they said they were. She didn't hide a thing. I don't know. When I think about being a light at the workplace, guys, that's what I think about. It's just who I am. And how many stories in this room could I hear from you that then you kind of go, when you hit a crisis, like I did, even as a 21-year-old, you know who the person you seek out? You don't seek out the buddy you go to the bar with every weekend. You seek the person out who's light, who may have some answers. And it usually comes in the form of, "Hey, could you pray for me?" They don't even know if they believe in prayer or not. But they know who you are. And therefore, when they got a need, they'll come to you. They're not going to come to Bozo over here. They're going to come to you. If you're a light. If you're a light. I heard 10 stories last night. If you're a light. If you're not a light, then forget it. If you're hiding it, then forget it. But if you are a light, I'm here to tell you God will use you, especially if you're in a workplace that's dark. You know where most, and again, I don't want to be too tough on folks, but I want you to hear the truth. You know where people shine the most? Believers? Most of the times, believers shine the most where it's needed the least. Most of the time, believers shine at church. Well, guys, we got plenty of light here. Where is light most needed? You can answer that out loud. I don't think you can get it wrong. Darkest places, sure. When the place is dark, it's going to need light the most. Now, doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to like it. But that's why Jesus told you, "Hey, listen, they didn't like me either. Let it shine. Let it shine." It's a good word. Don't let anybody intimidate you. Don't let this culture say you can't. Okay? I tell you, there's a time coming, I believe, in the life of our country, in the culture of our country, where it's going to get tougher and tougher for us to be who we're supposed to be. That's why I'm so looking forward to Daniel next week. Daniel was put in that situation. He was thrown into a dark culture and told to compromise. He didn't lead a rebellion. He wasn't a jerk or obnoxious, but he basically says, I'm going to be the light God's called me to be. And God used him. It's amazing how that works. Once again, I'm sorry, that's next week. But I just want you to, as you think about this, how does this fit? How does this fit into my job? Let's look at the rest of the passage. Look at verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In other words, people can see. They can see God in you. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but they can see God in you. Also, be careful. I think this is interesting. Also, be careful not to think that the light comes from you. You know, I've watched sometimes believers get arrogant about shining their light. But remember this, it ain't your light. You're just a reflector, right? So if God uses you, give him all the glory for it, because you ain't got it. Anything good the Scripture says that's in you is found, was put there by him. Right? The Scripture says comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights down to you. Therefore, if it's good in your life, it's light in your life, then he receives the glory for it. But Lord, don't let me hide it. That's the greater admonition I have for today. Don't hide it. Don't hide who you are because of the political correctness or the popularity of certain fads in our culture now. All right, number three, and this is where I'll close. Number three is this. How do I do that? I came up with that one too. How do I do that? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says this. For at one time, you were darkness. Here's one thing I want you to remember. Everybody in the room who is a believer, especially if you became a believer 18 or 19 years old and older. Okay, look at me. Don't ever forget what it was like to be in darkness. See, I still have vivid memories, because I didn't become a believer until I was 21. I still have vivid memories of being in darkness. I just want you to think about it. I want to let your mind go back there for a minute. Do you remember what it was like? I tell you, part of me remembers it. But while I was in darkness, I didn't see it. Why? Because I was in the darkness, right? I just didn't know any better. When you've never been in the light, you just don't know any better. That's why my former pastor always said the most miserable people in the world are not lost people. The most miserable people in the world are believers who are living in darkness. Because they know better. Anyway. But do you remember what it's like to be in darkness? And you remember what God did to bring his light into you. And you see the difference that happened in your life. This is what this verse is talking about. It says here, you were once. Remember. That's why I'm talking to you about it. Remember. All right, for the time, one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Here we go. Walk as children of light. Now, do we not have that? Oh, there it is. Look at this. Boy, y'all got rid of that one fast. All right, look at the picture there. Here's what you are to do. Walk as children of light. Now, notice what it says and what it doesn't say. Notice that what it says, what it doesn't say is, talk about the light. Right? Because people don't care what you say until they see it in your life first. And when they see it in your life first, then they want to know about it. Then you need to tell them. Don't get me wrong. There's something important about saying, something important about talking. But I found that walking, the word walk means to live. Therefore, how can you talk about the light if you are not walking in the light? So there's this great picture then. There's this great admonition then to just be who God's called you to be. I found out one of the greatest ways to be the light is just to have a relationship with God that keeps you focused on who he is, because the light comes from him. Walk. Walk as children light. I'm here to tell you something about, I have an illustration for you, but there's something about being light. And I understand the world gets dark because I talk about it. Now I can be guilty of this, but it's real easy to curse the darkness. But you haven't been commanded to curse the darkness. You've been commanded to be a light. It's real easy to curse the darkness. Real easy to talk about how bad everything is. Real easy to talk about this. But I'm telling you what, he hadn't called you to be in judgment of anybody, to condemn anybody. He's called you just to be the light. Interesting. Think about this for a second. I remember one time, focus is so key in this. How do you do this? It comes in a million different ways and a million different people. But focus is a key. Therefore, the way to maintain focus is just to have a daily relationship with Him that grows. And then focus happens. Why? Because God's at work all around you, and He wants to use you. He may use you in different ways. Again, it's not about you. It's about Him working through you. And so I remember this time that I was, this is a long time ago, so it was not here, but I was walking into this bank, and had this little restaurant and different things right here in a little strip mall. And I remember that these two guys, they got into it in the parking lot as I was walking. They got into it about something stupid. I think what happened, again, I could be wrong, it doesn't matter, but there was an altercation over something stupid. And I think it had to do with the parking space. You know, one was had his blinker on. The other backed up this way and went, and the other guy shot in, right, or something ridiculous. Well, they were blowing and going and cussing. I thought it was going to come to blows. And, you know, one guy made a gesture, and I'll let you figure that one out, and then he left. And then this other guy is out there. Now, this doesn't always happen to me. But I was just kind of walking by. I said, are you okay? You know, and he shot back something like, well, none of your business or something like that. I said, I'm sorry. I don't mean anything by it. I said, you look stressed. Don't look like the type of person that would let something like this get to him. Again, I found that being a light is not about, oh, I got to write that down. No, don't say that. Just, I found if you're just being who God's called, He'll give you the words at the time you need them. If it's His thing, if He's called, and it's incredible how it works. And so as I was talking with this guy, you know, as soon as I said, well, listen, everything dropped. And then out there in a parking lot with a total stranger, the flood opened up and found out, you know, a couple weeks before, his wife had left him, took the kids, moved out of state to be with her parents, and he's there all alone doing a job, and he was just a mess. Okay? Guys, being a light is not having a plan to go, I'm going to go to the parking lots and look for people who are, you know, cursing one another out. You know, yeah, you just kind of walk. You just kind of walk. And then if it's on your heart to be, if you're close to Him, He's going to say, hey, I want you to be a part of that. That does not necessarily mean sometimes, okay, I'm going to stay out of that one, all right? But it doesn't mean you're supposed to, but I don't know how that works. I just know, just walk. Just be a light. Right? Here's what had been easy to do, and here's what a lot of Christians do. As they're walking by these two guys, and I've been guilty of this, they're walking to the two guys, they just walk right on by, going into the bank, and think to themselves, boy, our world is getting out of control. Right? Those two guys out there, cursing each other out with children around. See, guys, God hasn't called us to curse the darkness. He's called us to be a light. Anybody can curse the darkness. You can get popularity by cursing the darkness, telling how bad everything's going, how bad everybody's being. But I'm here to tell you, He has not called you to curse the darkness, but He has called you to be a light, if I read this correctly. Now, sometimes light in and of itself will draw a tough reaction, but I'm here to tell you, be a light. Be a light. As I close, let me share with you some thoughts here. I just wrote these down just for the fun, right? Kind of the things to learn, all right? What needs to change, basically, in order to be the light He's called us to be? These are just a review, but think about this. Number one, light needs to be seen. I mean, I know that's real basic, but light just needs to be seen. Well, I just have to try harder. You know, I found if the room's really dark, you can't escape to notice the one light in the room. Therefore, you don't have to try. Just be. Just be who God's called you to be. It's amazing how that works. All right. Number two, Remember that we are reflectors of the light that God shines. In other words, it's all about our relationship with Him. It's all about who He is in our lives. Right? And then number three. And this is, I don't mean to guilt anyone, but I think you've heard this before, but let's just talk about it for what it means. It says, with the people at your work, I want you to know that you may be the only light they ever see. That is a distinct possibility. I know where a lot of you work. You've told me, you know, Jeff, I am the only believer at my workplace. I understand that. And I think God may think a lot of you to put you in a place like that, to whereas you are the only one. But I found this, that if He's put you in a dark place, there can only be one reason for Him putting you there. I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor, I'd love to work in a, you know, in an environment like you at a church. I'm like, I said, I don't understand that, and that's what I do. It's right. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I'm thinking about being a missionary. If you're in a dark place, you probably already are a missionary. You just don't know it. And it may be like me. Remember that I was 17 when the girl was just talking with me about the Lord, and I just basically thought she was crazy, right? It was 3.5-4 years later when I was 21 when what she did back here made the difference in my life. Are you making understand what I'm saying? You never know what God's going to do or how He's going to do it. That's not your responsibility. You just be the light consistently. That doesn't mean you're going to do it perfectly. Don't put that on yourself either. But just be it. Therefore, focusing on your relationship with Him is huge. Because how do I become a greater light? Well, the only way to do it is to get it from where the light comes from. Right? And how do you do that? Well, I've just got to try harder. I found that doesn't work. I've done that. I am a try harder person. I know how to try harder. Well, I just try. I tell you, this can be a frustrating thing. But when you just go to the source, it's amazing how it works. I've got to close. But as I close today, remember next week's series as we start. But as I close today, just a couple of things for you to think about. If there's never been a time in your life, you look at me and say, you know, Pastor, I'm not, to be honest with you, I mean, I've kind of been religious on and off and gone to church all my life, but I don't know that I'm a light. I don't know that I've ever been a light. I don't know I have a desire to be a light. And if you want to know what it means to be a believer, even though the point has been, you know, to being a light yourself. But if you're not, then there will be some pastors here who would love to share with you what Christ did at the light. He's the light, all right, which is the light of life, which is the light of men. So if you'd like to know more about what it means to be some pastors out here, I'd love to talk with you. But for those of you that are believers today, as we finish up this work series, the main thing is focus. Main thing is, Lord, I'm yours, and I need to lift it up. I need to put it on a stand. I need to be the city on the hill and not the one in the valley. If you hear that, that could be why we're here today and why we're sharing what we're doing today. All right? Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Tim, wherever you are, come out. We do have our beach baptism tonight, and that's my favorite thing. Okay, Christmas Eve's close. But I love beach baptism. So anyway, we'll look forward to seeing. If you'd like to sign up to be baptized, make sure you head out into the hall. But God bless you guys, and have a great afternoon. All right, Tim, why don't you close?